Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Hang on a second. Can you hear me, Lon?
Yes.
I've been punching the wrong buttons. Welcome. Good morning. It is 2020. It is the first podcast of the year, and here I go. I'm already making my goofies. Today is, I'm really happy to bring back to the show my friend Lon Safko, and he is going to share how AI, artificial intelligence, can and should replace outdated technology in 2020. And Lon is a good friend of mine, and I've been watching him forever. We trade information. Seriously, he's one of my favorite people in the world, but he is an innovator, a best-selling author, a speaker, and he's the creator of the first computer to save a human life, as coined by Steve Jobs. Lon has 18 inventions in the Smithsonian Institution. Is it the Institute or Institution? Anyway, the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. What did I say? It's going to be one of those days. Along with 30,000 professional papers, and he has 14 inventions in the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. Now, Lon also hosted the first ever PBS television special, Social Media and You, Communicating in a Digital World. He founded more than 14 companies and owns 3 U.S. patents for three-dimensional internet advertising. And he's also a keynote speaker, a trainer, and has taught innovation to more than 1,000 top executives all over the world, Kuala Lumpur, Shanghai, Bangkok, Singapore, Mumbai, Delhi, Vienna, and I'm running out of breath, Amsterdam, Milan, and Dubai. He's also a 2017 Pulitzer Prize nominee and the author of multiple, and I mean multiple, best-selling books, which can be found on Amazon. Lon, just bear with me. I'm having a hard time making my words work.
Well, that intro would choke just about anyone.
I'm just going to tell everybody who wants to hear this. I live in a part of the country that has legal fireworks, and I'm still just kind of going from all of it. They started last week, but they started on New Year's Eve at 5:30. They did not stop. There was no moment at any moment where there was, they weren't blowing up hundreds of thousands of dollars. They didn't stop until about 2:30 in the morning. I'm still a little bit miffed about it, to be honest. I'm still walking around going, what the heck? Happy New Year to everybody. So, Lon, welcome back. It's so good to have you here.
Well, I'm excited, especially to be your first podcast of 2020. That's kind of cool.
It is, and the topic is just phenomenal because, we are all dealing with outdated things on our websites, contact forms. I really want you to talk about those because I agree with you. I don't think people actually use them. I put them on every single website I build, every website I own. And to be honest, the only ones that get any play at all are people wanting to be a guest on this goofy podcast. Go figure. And it's only goofy because it's me doing the talking. I agree with you. I think they're outdated. I think they're, serving up a lot of old information. So I'm going to let you just go. I'm losing my voice, and I'm dying for you to share everything you know about this terrific. And listen, everybody, the book, Lon, tell people the name of the book that we're talking about, because it is available on Amazon right now if you're a Kindle, you can get it for free on Kindle.
Yeah, AI chatbots. And the subtitle kind of says it all, Unexpected Positive Consequences. Because I had no idea that a chatbot would be that beneficial. Because I hate them just like everybody else. But it turns out that they really work.
Well, and I'll tell you where I hate them. I don't mind them on websites because I understand mostly that they are a chat. if they're a chatbot, they're very, very smart how they operate them. Facebook, you start sending me those things on Facebook, I'll come unhinged. Just stop it. And I don't know why. I don't know why they bother me, but they do.
I know. I don't think that they belong on Facebook for real, because they are intrusive.
No. Very. And they're just so fake. You know, people don't really study how this is going to impact their audience, if you will. They're just like, oh, I've got this. You know, go take a look at this. And they're very excited. They're almost breathless. They're so excited. And you're just saying, yeah. I don't even know who you are. Why are you sending me this stuff?
Exactly.
It happens.
Well, you know, it's like social media. You and I have been participating in social media for way over a decade. And one of the things we all learn is that social media can be done, or it can be done correctly. And that's why you do consulting, to help people do it correctly. And AI chatbots are exactly the same way. You can't just stick it up on the site. You have to understand how they work, what the purpose of them are, and design them. Because an AI chatbot can be designed to primarily capture an email address, or primarily capture a telephone number for leads, or it can be there as a customer service assistant. So just slapping a chatbot up is going to make your customers angry, because it's not fulfilling a particular purpose. And that was one of the first things that I learned when I put the chatbot on all of my websites.
Did I lose you?
No, I just paused. That was that's a sound bite.
Oh.
See if you wanted to
I was just
to jump in.
And okay, writing notes and went, oh, geez, this is definitely going to be one of those. Go ahead.
I'll explain what happened. Well, as I said earlier, you know, you and I have been doing social media forever,
and we were some of the earliest
people in social media. And social media now is kind of starting to run its course. Most people understand what it is, how it works, got it perfected. They found their proper consultant, just like you. And what is the next step? And as you heard by that crazy intro of mine, I'm always on kind of the cutting edge. What is the next step? Social media is taken care of. So where do we go from here? And what I realized is, let me say these four acronyms. They're two letters each. The first one is AI. Next one is AR. It's IoT. And it's VR. So what we're going to talk a little bit about today is the AI, or the artificial intelligence, which is just kind of a scary word, saying that the computer can go through a lot of data that would take forever for us to do it and find patterns and help us. That's all AI is. It's just a program. VR, virtual reality, is going to make a huge change in the way we live, the way we interact with all technology, from our telephones to our cars. Virtual reality, augmented reality, AR, it's been around for a long time, but what we're seeing is a lot of new applications are being written for that, where you can use your cell phone and hold it up and point it down the street, and you can see Yelp reviews of all the restaurants live right on your phone, for an example, or a product in a grocery store with reviews and contact information for the manufacturer. And then the last one, of course, is IoT, which is Internet of Things, where our cars are talking to our toasters, and our thermostats on our walls are talking to the electric company. So we're going to see an awful lot of that. But AI chatbot is one of the easiest to implement. And I probably shouldn't give you the punchline, that I should hold that to the end. But I want your listeners to really listen to this, because I didn't like chatbots. But the first month that I installed it and made it work properly, I saw a 30% increase in revenue. The second month, a 30% increase in revenue. And every month, for now it's officially a year, every single month there's been a 30% increase in revenue. And it's 100% because of the chatbot.
Why did you install it? Because, you know, I've thought about it, and I'm actually getting ready, now that we've been talking, to do it on a couple of client websites with their permission. You know, I've had to really talk them into it. I mean, it's not something you just go do. But, that's one question. Why did you install it? And the other thing is, I meant to to ask you about this the other day when we were chatting. I've got a client. I'm actually launching her website today. And it's an insurance agency. Hang on a second. I need to cough. Sorry about that. It's an insurance agency in the agricultural business. It's a very specialized insurance agency. And when we were talking, when we were going over the needs for her website, because you can't just say, oh, you know, it's for everybody. No, it's not. We have to dig way, way down, figure out who your audience is and what they need, how you can best serve them. You can't just slap something up. And what I found, and she hadn't even realized herself when I was asking questions and digging, was, and this goes back to the contact form that I mentioned earlier, is when I first put up the first go-round of the site and said, okay, come look at it, we had one box at the top that said, contact us, and the other one, I said, call us. She instantly went, oh, God, call us. And I said, well, I've been telling you that, because you need people to come into your office or call you. They don't want to just go through a menu of stuff. They're farmers. They don't have time.
Yes.
They're not interested. So she said, oh, my gosh. So we dug deeper and deeper, and she doesn't even want the contact boxes anywhere. I mean, we'll have a contact page. She wants them to call her or be invited to go in. So my question is, after why did you install it, are you finding that more people actually want to talk to people? I mean, I think the chat box is a good idea to get them to your office or to, in her case, or pick up the phone. So what do you think? Because I'm finding
that's a really great observation. And yeah, and I didn't anticipate this. So when I put the chat box on there, I didn't know what
to
expect.
You didn't have coffee? Come on now, you know better.
No, the secret to my success is just getting out there and trying something and getting beaten up and stand back up and try it again and learning the hard way. And that's
this
exactly
is why we get along so well.
Because I was against them. I didn't like chatbots because I felt that they were intrusive. But again, if they're done correctly, they're not that bad. And let's talk about the contact form. I believe it or not, I've been running one of my websites. It's an e-commerce website for 21 years continuously. It's called papermodelsonline.com. And it provides school projects for children. And our biggest seller is the 21 California Missions. So if you're 9 years old, you're going to be in fourth grade and you have to study state history. And you're going to have to build one of these 21 missions. So you can go to the website for $9.95, you download a PDF, and it's got the history and it's got the pages. You cut it out, you fold it, you glue it, and you actually have a three-dimensional replica of any one of those 21 missions, or the White House, Capitol Building, or whatever. So for the last 21 years, of course, I believed that my demographic, the visitors to my website, were going to be the parents and the teachers. And they're the ones that hold the credit card. So the entire website, the frequently asked questions, the layout, the colors, everything was designed for adults. Of course it was, teachers and parents of these kids that have to build these projects. When the chatbot got on, the first thing that I realized, I was an idiot for 21 years, two decades. No, it's the kids. More than 95% of every customer that comes to the website is one of these nine-year-old kids doing the research to find the solution to their school project. Had no idea. So I changed the way the chatbot looked. I took a picture of our little multi-poo, a couple of years old, a little puppy. And now this puppy, and the puppy's actually named Bella, and that's the name of the chatbot. So these kids interact with this puppy, and instead of, and here's another important thing that I didn't realize, most people stay on a website between 10 and 15 or 10 and 20 seconds before they opt out of that page. They back
out.
That's
exactly right.
I've had customers on there for 25 minutes. That's 1,500 seconds as opposed to 15 seconds. So the stickiness of the website went up exponentially because the kids love to interact with this little puppy. So they talk and they chat and they talk about school and their lives and exchange names and birthdays and then eventually get their parents over with a credit card and they buy. And that's one of the reasons that the revenue went up 30% because of the way the clients interact with the website. Now that I actually know after 20 years who those clients are, just like you said, that most farmers, for example, don't want to interact with a contact form.
No, they won't do it. In fact, she says that because these people are so busy and they're so set in their ways, if they send, they have found that if they send them any kind of a letter or a flyer that has too many words in it, they simply won't read it. They'll bring it to the office and say, tell me what this is. They're busy.
They're busy.
Yep.
Yeah, and contact
and
forms also, believe it or not.
Explain it to them. That's what they want, yeah.
Because, yeah, they don't have the time to root through all of that because so much information that we're bombarded with every day is useless. It's not what we need at that time. And contact forms I found through the conversations. I analyzed 22,000 interactions. Yeah, I spent a lot of time reading these because I really wanted to understand it. Over 2,000 customers and over 22,000 interactions. And what I found was is that when the chatbot suggested to use the contact form, unanimously the answer from the customer came back, you're not going to trick me into putting my email address into a contact form. That's how I get on the corporate spam list. Wow. Never thought about it in a million years. But they'll give their email address to the conversational puppy.
And that actually makes sense to me. Now, when I get on one of these bots, and I know it's a bot, and you know they want to have my email address, I may or may not give it to them, but I always give them what I call my junk email address. I've had a Yahoo account
yes.
for dogs years, and that's where I, you know, I use it. I use that because if anybody sends, you know, I wind up on somebody's mailing list using my personal and private email address.
Yep.
I go after them. Like, you know better than
yep.
that. I never gave.
That's
I mean,
exactly
I get hot
exactly.
under the
one
collar.
One is for safe sex, one is for promiscuous. I mean, email.
Yeah. I'm not yeah. going to comment. I don't have anything to say about it.
I okay, meant so, email.
Well, it's just wrong. Yeah, I know. And it's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's. You know, I mean, I've given them my personal email address for a reason. It was never to be added to their list. And I instantly take
yes.
umbrage at that. But, you know, that's just a personal
yep.
quirk, if you will. Okay, so
yeah, no,
when
I
you
do the
decide...
same thing. I think all smart people do. I have a Gmail
yeah.
address just for that because I know that Google Gmail doesn't tolerate spam. And they will shut that company down. They'll block them mm-hmm. or they'll get your name removed. They're really good at supporting us on that.
Yeah, they are, and I have the same. And it's when it's my Gmail address that shows up, I'm like, oh, no, you didn't, and off we go. So sometimes
yep,
you just need to pick a good fight, right? So, but
exactly.
so let's go back to Bella because, I mean, you installed this, and I'm guessing you just thought, well, I'll try it because you do things like that. You're always, I'm going to try this, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, then I'm going to go on to the next idea, and you've got tons and tons of ideas. Okay, so when you first, if you don't mind, walk us through how this kind of evolved because it really is fascinating. So you put up a chatbot. You didn't just throw something up and hope for the best. My first question is, how did you determine who your customers are, that they're actually children? And, you know, I'm a web developer, and when you said that, I went, well, no kidding, but I would have built it the same way. I would have absolutely built it the way you built it. Because you're right. You think, okay, you know, mom and dad's got the credit card. You know, it's going to be the adults sitting with their children going through these things. But when you filter it out, well, of course it's the kids. They have to build it. They want to know. So you're right. I agree with you. So how did you find out?
I felt so foolish because 20 years I completely understood. I mean, I knew how the teachers thought. I knew I had copies, actual copies from the state of California, because that's our primary product, on how of what actually goes home to the parents. I mean, I researched this, you know me, and I thought I had a cold.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing these conversations come in, and they were all children. They were all saying, yeah, I'm 9 years old. How old are you, Bella? And Bella would say, I was created 3 years ago, and the conversations would continue. And you can see that almost none of them were adults. Every single one was children doing the research. And I felt so foolish, but then again, I felt really happy because that was an insight that even if I ran it the website for another 20 years, I never would have known that unless I actually read those transcripts.
And see, there's another question. Do you think when people put, I mean, look, people who know what they're doing or really want this to work, they're going to read those transcripts. It's going to take a lot of time. Did you have any kind of a system where you were able to just kind of filter them through keywords or random phrases, or did you really read all 22,000 of those things, or however many it was? My eyes are watering just thinking about it.
Well, you know, I really did take the time to read all 22,000, and the 22,000 interactions, the chap, I would say something, and then the visitor would say something. But when I started seeing these unbelievable changes, because, again, I thought I was relatively smart. I've had websites since 1994, and I thought I was really good at understanding. And all these unexpected positive consequences started popping out of this chatbot. So I realized that it was very, very important to actually read those transcripts. And here's another thing. When I was looking at the chatbots, I found 12 of the best chatbots in the world, and I tested every one of them. Most of them are abysmal. Oh, my gosh, you got to program every question with every answer and every possible answer to every question and whatever the next question is going to be. I mean, it would take days and days. This one that I chose is called Acobot, A-C-O-B-O-T. The reason I chose it is it works a lot like Google does. So every 24 hours, this Acobot actually goes into your website and indexes your entire website. So the following day, in the morning when the customers come on, if you've added or changed any information anywhere on your website, it already knows. So, for example, shipping. I knew that everywhere we put that we use United States Postal Service, Priority, and Express. And everybody knows what that is, 2 to 3 days, 4 to 5 days. So I figured the customers, they got to know, or they'll go to the USPS website to find out how long. Now I'm reading these transcripts, and it was shocking. Almost every single day, someone asked, if I bought it today, how long is it going to take me to get it? Because school projects, you usually don't find out until Sunday night when you're cleaning out the kids' backpack that the project is due the following week. So even though we gave them the options and it's standard postal service, I thought that they knew. But they didn't. They asked that question every single day. So here's the cool thing about working with this particular chatbot. I go into the frequently asked question page, and I actually copied the USPS description of priority, how long it takes, and what the requirements are, priority and express, and I just pasted it into the FAQ page. And then I watched the chatbot. So the following morning, one of the very first questions that came up was, how long does it take? The chatbot comes back and says, priority is 3 to 4, express is 2 to 4, and here's a link to the question on the frequently asked question page. Bam. Within 8 minutes, that customer bought the product.
I remember asking you, we were talking about this last week. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry. We were talking about this.
No,
I was thinking, okay, so why did it take so long from start to finish? But then you explained to me that they have to pick their product, their colors. You know, they have to go through the whole system. They're actually in a shopping cart. I went, I just couldn't figure out why would it take them once they had that pertinent piece of information? Why would it take them so long? Well, obviously, their soul had been soothed because they could get, you know, their product. Now they just had to choose the product. And see, these are things that we all need to be thinking about when we're creating these questions and chatbots. You have to look at it almost like you're walking in the door as a customer, as a consumer, instead of, you know, being a web developer and a brilliant guy that you are. We think we know everything, and we kind of sort of don't, which is embarrassing to say.
Well, we do, if anybody asks.
We don't. Well,
behind the scenes,
we're both
like
brilliant.
This, there was a lot I didn't know. Yeah, and the 8 minutes, that's exactly right. We have over 100 products on our website, and everything comes in 3 different sizes, and either you can download it and print it yourself, or we'll print and ship it to you. So there was a lot of options. But the decision whether or not to buy happened at the instant that that chatbot gave them the information that they required. No question about it. And then it simply took 8 minutes for them to identify the product and to get through the shopping cart, which is also a good indicator that you can go through 100 products on our website, identify the one you want, and actually get through the shopping cart within 8 minutes, and they don't drop out. See, so that was, I didn't even think it until just now. That's another unexpected positive consequence that now I realize that the layout of the site and the shopping cart must be intuitive because I didn't lose that customer.
And see, I was actually going to ask you about that. Do you have any indications that they might have been shopping for a while before they engage a chatbot, or is there a way to find that out? I mean, it sounds like, and I've been to your website, and I've got some of your products. You've sent them to me, and they're fun. But, well, you would be able to tell if you have Google Analytics. You'd be able to tell who's jumping out and what their point
of
jumping
is. Yeah, absolutely. Where they're coming in and
where they're leaving. About that. Right, right.
Yep. That is true. And let me tell you, any page that you go to on that website, no matter how you get in, whether it's the home page or a direct link to another page, the chatbot automatically comes up on every single page, except I ask that please leave them alone if they're on the blog page. You have that option as well.
Right.
There's something else I learned. When they want to read the blogs, they don't want this puppy constantly asking for their email address. They just want to consume your podcast or consume the blog. So don't annoy them. Let them have some privacy there. And you got the ability to do that as well. And then the thing with the coupons.
I'm so excited. Keep talking.
Do we have time? Can I share the coupon story?
Yes. I've got a list of things I wanted to – well, we've got 30 more minutes. You know, we talked about contact forms and how to make the site sticky, but definitely coupons and discount codes. And let's stick with Bella because Bella apparently rocks. So whatever Bella's doing, tell us about that.
It's absolutely amazing. The kids warm right up to the puppy, and they ask, are you human? Are you a robot? Are you really a puppy? And, okay, here's something I got to tell you. Nine-year-old boys, they are the filthiest things I have ever seen. The thing that they say to my puppy, I wouldn't even say to myself in my own head.
A nine-year-old?
Oh my gosh. There were actually some things that these 9-year-old boys asked to do with my chatbot. I had to look up.
Don't say it. Email me later. Don't say it.
Not to go off color here, but the biggest problem that the company, this company happens to be based out of Beijing, and I got to be good friends with the owner of the company. When I started showing them some of the transcripts, adults don't usually interact in a profane way with the chatbot, but these kids totally get off on being nasty. So we're seeing – so just for example, and I'll try to keep this as clean as possible, but they're funny as – I just laugh so hard. A little boy would get on there and say, hi, Bella, are you a girl? He says, yeah, I'm a girl. I'm a chatbot girl. Are you a boy? Yes. Oh, okay, show me your – and then he will pick a particular piece of anatomy on a young girl. And then the chatbot would say, give me your email address. And then the boy would say, I'd like to meet you. And then the chatbot would say, sure, give me your email address. So all of these nasty things that the kids were saying, the chatbot was responding in such a way that it would kind of appear that it was lurking, that it was a predator trying to hook up with these 9-year-olds. So the owner of the company was freaking out because I said, I just want you to imagine your 9-year-old son or your 9-year-old daughter having a text conversation with somebody and getting these type of responses. And he freaked out because I'm telling you, 8 out of 10 of them were just profane. So
9 years old.
We worked, 9 years old. I'm telling you, they asked for things that I actually had to go look up because I didn't know what they were asking.
Sorry.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I think I just spit on my phone. Oh, my God.
It was the funniest thing. And to see the response from the developer, from the owner of the company, he goes, we've never encountered anything like this. I said, no, because you deal with adults all the time and they would never do that. I said, but in this instance, or anybody who has who cater to children under 18, you got a huge potential liability here. So we ended up spending almost 3 months, and that's also part of the reason that I read all 22,000 interactions to make sure that no matter what they said, that the chatbot had an appropriate response. to any one of those filthy questions. Now, let me turn it around. You want to read those because as an adult with a serious interaction, you want to understand what your customers are looking for so that you can give them the proper response, either by building it into the chatbot, which, by the way, you can with a good one like this one, or you just put it in your frequently asked question page, and the chatbot will read it, learn it, and then answer that question appropriately the following morning. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. I mean, I have avoided them, and I have a good friend who is a chatbot maven, if you will, and he's tried to talk me into chatbots for the longest kind of time, and I just have said no. It's not what I want to do. Now that I'm getting a better understanding, and he explained it well, but a lot of what you're talking about, I don't think he was really talking to me about. So, you know, it's kind of taking the two of you to get me go, that's interesting. But it's just, I've avoided them. I don't like them. And I looked at a couple of them. You know, I didn't go through 12, but I looked at a couple and I thought, that's a week's worth of work. I don't even have time to do something like that. And I'm not convinced that it won't do anything but really irritate me. So, let's take that off of the to-do list. It might. And it sounds, you know, what you're talking about here with this company, it could definitely cause harm. I wouldn't have even thought of that. And especially from 9-year-old boys.
My goodness. I wish I could publish them because I'm telling you, they would bring tears to your eyes. You'd laugh so hard to think that that's the way their minds work. So we all know when the testosterone kicks in. It's 9.
I thought it was later.
I don't know.
I have to be honest with you. One of my, instead of give me your email address, would be, let me talk to your mother. That's what I would have said. So I want to talk to your mom right now.
The official response to all of the keywords we identified now is, I'm going to pass this on to my human counterpart.
Does that slow them down?
Oh, it stops them dead in their tracks.
Okay, so they think they're going to get in trouble. Perfect.
Yes. And it was a polite way to do that. And it's applicable for adults, too. I mean, if it's not a dirty response, but if it's a response that it doesn't understand, then, I'll pass this on to my human counterparts and we'll get in touch with you immediately. So that's appropriate for adults. But it
really
stopped
is.
A little... Yeah.
The little, okay. So
I got lost.
Are you there?
So
can you hear me?
Coupons. Can you hear me?
I can.
So I teach marketing, as you heard in the intro, all over the world to top executives. And oh my gosh, I just live for it. I just love it. And one of the things we eventually get around to coupons. And I hate coupons because they're never used appropriately. And what I mean by that is coupons, when they developed them 40, 50 years ago, they did it so that someone who has never used your product before can buy it at a discount, which will encourage them to buy it, but really try it. And then once they try it, they'll like it and they'll come back and pay full price for that product, full retail. But that's not the way it works. And you've seen extreme couponing and the crazy shows on the Learning Channel. And well, that's the way they actually work. People who are into coupons want a deal. And they'll search and they'll collect these coupons. So what that really means is these are not first-time customers. These are return customers that would pay full retail that are continuously taking these discounts off of your retail price. So you're leaving a lot of money on the table, but you're really not achieving the goal that the coupon was designed for. So I almost never recommend them, only in very specific circumstances, giveaways and when you're trying to attract a lot of customers. So with the coupons, I don't offer them on my website. Well, what I found was 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15 people who got there, I didn't realize previous to having the chatbot, they would search the site to see if they could find a coupon to get a deal. And they would ask the chatbot, hey, do you have a coupon? And I thought that was really unusual. So I started watching that as I read through these 22,000 interactions. And what I realized was there's a small percent. There's 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15 people that will buy if they think they're getting a deal. That's all they want. They just don't want to pay retail. And if you can offer them a coupon somehow, I had this feeling that I could close the sale really fast. But I did not want to put a coupon on the website because I knew everybody would take advantage of it. So here's what I did. I created a page. I did not connect it to any of the menus or any other pages. It's an orphan. You know what that is. It sits out there. And it's
it can be found if,
says,
you're,
hey,
looking
if you're looking
for it, but it's not
off,
an ad system.
What's that?
It can be found if somebody's deliberately looking for it, but it's not in the navigation system.
Nailed it. Perfect explanation. That's a great definition. Yes. So you can't find it. So what happened was is that following night, the chatbot found it, of course, but never said anything about it until one of the customers says, hey, do you have a coupon? Oh, you're looking for a coupon? Here, click on this link. And it takes them to this unidentifiable page, and it gives them 10% off. Our low-end products sell for $9.95. Our high-end products sell for $24.95. So out of the low-end products, I figured I'll give them 10% off. If I can sell a $10 product and actually make $9 on it, because this is a topic for another show, the company is 100% profit. There's no employees. There's no inventory. There's no office. It's 100% profit. So I don't mind giving back a buck on a $10 sale because I still get to keep $9 of it. So what happened was is only the people that asked for the coupon was given the link by the chatbot. And again, 8 minutes, every single time, 100% of the time, once they got the coupon in their hand, it closed the deal. They purchased. And I absolutely am positive that if they didn't think that they were getting that deal, that discount, that coupon, that they never would have purchased from me. And that's also what contributed to the 30% increase. I did not understand the psychology of why coupons are critical to the sale to some people. Chatbot taught me that. Another unexpected positive consequence.
No kidding. So, Lon, what I'm hearing from you is that you can actually use chatbox. What am I saying, box? Chatbot wisely as a discovery system.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, by reading
so
those
instead
transcripts.
Instead of just putting them up there and you're saying, okay, that's great, I'm done, now I'm going to go water the lawn, you actually have to study them, read them, and figure out what people are really, really looking for. And in your case, they're kids, they're not adults. That's stunning
right.
to me. I mean, once you look at it and go, well, duh, but yes. it wasn't a duh in the beginning at all. So there you
exactly.
have it.
When you mentioned Google Analytics earlier, Google Analytics is absolutely amazing. How many actual people who own the websites have actually read, studied, analyzed, and understood Google Analytics and do it regularly? I'll bet you nobody.
Not
does.
Many. No, no.
Right.
It's not easy
so
to read.
The chatbot is
I mean, I have
it's
to.
It's an analytical tool.
Right. But it's not easy to read. You have to know what you're looking for. You have to know where people are going to your website, what they're looking for. You have to look for those bounce backs, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
If your website is not
yeah.
structured carefully in a bounce back, for anybody who's listening to us, that's the one where you didn't make 3 seconds. They go, that's not for me, and they're out. And you better
yes.
hope it's not your
literally,
page.
Literally, 5 to 15 seconds is all mm-hmm. most people spend on a page.
Yep, exactly right. So there are tools. So when you started this kind of discovery process, and then found out it was a discovery process. It wasn't just a simple, allegedly simple matter of setting up chatbots and going, well, let's see how this works. You continue
right.
to watch it, monitor it, grow it, change it, edit it, and dive deep
yeah.
into who your customers are. So how
yes.
long did that take you once you started? I'm going to keep calling it a discovery process because apparently I can't say
it was,
chatbot.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but
okay.
it seems to be a big discovery process for you. I mean, it launched a book for crying out loud. So how long, if people were to say, this is fascinating and I need to do the same thing, how long could they reasonably expect to study it, look at it, edit it, fix it, really go deep into their customer psyche? Because this, when you're talking to your customers, when you're talking about your customers, your consumers, your clients, you better understand them. You better know where they're at, what they need, and
yeah.
what they want from you. And so many of us simply do not know that. We don't think we have a way to get there. We just put out what we think they want and hope for the best.
Yes.
It's not a good
20
idea.
20 years I did that. 20 years,
see, now,
I did what I thought
I don't feel anywhere
best.
Near as stupid as I did an hour ago. You made me feel better.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and Google Analytics is amazing, and it will give you amazing insights. But you got to read it at least once in a while. So the question was, how long would it be expected that you would have to read these transcripts? To give you an example, I read the last 24 hours of transcripts in about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes before our call this morning. That's all it took. And even when the chatbot is new and you're fine reading every single line of them, you know, honestly, you probably only take about 30 minutes. So if I said to you, if I can show you a way to increase your revenue seriously by 30% every single month, and you got to give me about 30 minutes each morning for 30 days, is that a good enough trade-off? I thought it was, and it certainly was for me.
So how many websites do you, you know, we're going to leave Bella for a moment here. How many websites do you have these on now?
I have three primary websites. I have my e-commerce website. I have lonsafco.com, which is kind of like my bio background website if you want to find out more about who I am. And then I have safco.com, which is my speaking training website. And I put the chatbot on all three of those websites. But, of course, the adult sites, it's not a puppy. It's it looks like a woman. It speaks like a woman. Because you can also change the voices. You can have male, female, adult male, adult female, British accents. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So those chatbots are geared towards adults, and they speak and sound like adults. And I'm getting the same insights from those websites, too.
Do they want to know if you're a girl or a boy?
Well, no, they don't
I'm
talk dirty to me anymore
by that.
On those sites, so I am disappointed reading those transcripts.
They're not saucy yet.
It's like reading the Harlequin novel. If you're into them, you're going to love this chatbot stuff.
Oh, God, no, I don't read those. No, I don't read those. Okay, so let's talk about how the chatbot, I said it right, can identify products, because clearly you've got a ton of products on your website. So is this part of the FAQ section? Like, you know, I need a White House. I need, you know, something from the Trail of Tears or whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
Where does that go? Is that in the FAQ or how does that work?
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool also. Again, this Acobot that I use, Acobot AI, it works really, really well with WooCommerce, which is probably one of the biggest. There's about 3.5 million websites using WooCommerce for e-commerce, which is owned by WordPress. And then, of course, Shopify, which is the other huge e-commerce presence. And it works amazingly with this because there's categories inside of every product where you can put in some photographs and then the title of the product, the SKU, the price, but you can also put in a description. So one of the things, especially on the children's site, I put the entire history. So because they need that for the school project, so there's about a 2-page history, and that downloads with the product. But I took the text and actually put this 2 pages of text in the product description, which is the history of that particular product. So if they come in and they don't really know what they're looking for, but they have a few of the keywords, again, the chatbot indexes every single product, every single description. So when it asks for a particular keyword, bam, click on this link, the chatbot says. And then the customer clicks on it, and that's exactly the product they're looking for. They hit buy, and the sale happens out of hundreds of products.
So basically what the chatbot is doing is it's helping. I mean, it really is helping. When somebody comes in there, a 9-year-old kid, I mean, they have a limited attention span, apparently. And they're looking for a particular school project that they're supposed to be working on. So they can type in Father Sierra or, you know, who it, I can't remember the names of the missions.
Yeah.
But,
Universal,
you know,
Sierra,
they can type in any of those and get where they need.
Yeah.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Juniper Sierra. was, yeah, yeah, you nailed
Father Sierra.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, Sierra is
you
right.
don't live in our
yeah.
part of the country, and you understood that. That's cool.
Well, I was born and raised there. So when I was a school child, I had to make that tour, and I loved it.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, and then you really
been to every one of them.
You've been talking about.
Yep, I have been to every one of those, and they were just, I hated school, hated school. That's the only thing I remember with any fondness at all.
Yeah.
But they were fantastic.
Yeah, but so, you're absolutely right. A kid came in the other day and said, asked Bella, how tall is the Lincoln Memorial? I was like, I don't. So then I continued following the transcript, and the darn chatbot came back and said, 99 feet tall. Click on here to buy the project. And bam, they clicked
really?
There and they bought the project.
Wow.
Based on a question, how tall is it? Because it was in the description. I didn't even realize it.
Oh. Okay, so basically a chatbot done right, and let's stress this, it has to be done right. You can't just pop it in there and wander off the reservation and go, well, it's either going to work or it's not. It's a tool. It's a living tool, apparently, and you really have to feed it, water it, and pay attention to it. So when you figure out who your clients are, where they are, clients, customers, consumers,
yeah.
where they are, what they mm-hmm. need, what they want from you, then you've pretty much got them. And in your case, I think you've got them for the duration of their school years as these things are
yeah.
needed. And then that's passed down to the next generation or grade or whatever it is that you want, because these teachers
yes.
are going to be able to say, look, this is – so you've got a lot of – stick-to-itness with that, I think. I think it's going to get passed down from grade to grade, generation to generation. And it's been around for 20-some odd years, so clearly that's the case.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the teachers and parents, especially the parents, because I've seen a lot of these parents' emails that come in to me. Oh, my gosh, my project is due. If I order it, how fast can I get it? What tools do I need? I'm freaking out over here. Because they didn't realize, like I said, they found the notice in the kid's backpack Sunday night when they cleaned it out, and it was due Wednesday. So the parents really appreciate that they can go to the website. It's easy to use, and for under $10, you get the history, so the kid can write the history, and you get this usually about 10 pages that prints on a standard printer, little scissors, little glue, and an hour later, you got an architectural replica of whatever mission or Capitol building or whatever. And the solution happens that evening, Sunday night. So, yeah, but by making it easy and not ticking off the parents, they're under enough stress as it is. They can ask any question. They get the appropriate answers. They buy the product. Oh, my gosh.
Now,
never had that in 21 years.
No, and that's amazing. So once they, you know, once they've done all this and gone through the process, are there many questions that the chatbot just cannot respond to that you have to go back, go, oh, that's a good one. Let me add it to the FAQ. I mean, I'm sure there's going
yeah.
to be the occasional odd question that you're like, what the heck was that? Okay, let me answer it kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, but here's the wonderful thing about it. Once I got through about the first 30 to 45 days of kind of tweaking a little of the website, a little bit of the chatbot, you know, honestly, I just read the transcripts now just to make sure that we're on track or to see if there isn't something I didn't miss. I mean, we're down now, I think, in the 1-2% of perfecting this website, because the chatbot fixed the big problems almost immediately. And I don't think I've had to make a change either to the site or to the chatbot in 6 months, honestly. Now, I think
wow.
There was one. Somebody said if I buy the – there's 7x10, which obviously a print on – standard paper, and then we also have 10x13 models. So I didn't even think about it, because everywhere it says that you can print all these products on a standard printer. The question came up, if I buy the 10x13, can I still print it on a standard printer using 8.5x11 paper? Again,
no.
Never crossed my mind, because to me, of course you can. Otherwise, if I downloaded something that required 13-inch paper, it would be useless to you. So it never crossed my mind. But that question popped up, and I was like, you know, that's really not a bad question. And I'm surprised more people haven't asked it. And then I thought, more people have asked it. There's never been an appropriate response, and I lost them as a customer. So I ran into the FAQ. I typed out a sentence that says, yeah, anything that we sell to you that's printable, we'll print on standard printer, standard paper. And then I started seeing more and more of the larger size sales coming through almost immediately. But that's the first change in 6 months. But by making that one
wow.
change, I saw an incremental increase in revenue again.
Okay, here's another one, because now I'm thinking like a developer. A lot of people don't have a printer in their home. Now, I have a printer. It's out of ink.
Right.
It's always out of ink. So
yes.
My question would be, can I put this, you know, can I take this to Office Depot or one of those places? Can
mm-hmm.
it be printed over there? If it can, how do I do it? Has that one popped up?
Ah, that popped up as well, and I never gave that a thought either, because I really don't want to encourage people taking the file and going to a mass production printer like Kinko and printing out enough for the class. That's always a problem. Our products are stolen a lot.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, gotcha.
And, yeah, so the front page has a pretty strong copyright thing. You're allowed to print, like, two copies for your child. It's a one-time license. Anything else is blah, blah, blah. But I just put that on to scare most of the people that are thinking about mass producing it for the school. But now that question did come up. So now in the frequently asked questions, if anybody asks that question, it says, yes, copy this paragraph from the frequently asked question page that will give you permission to have Kinko or whatever printer you bring it to, that you could make up to two copies and not void the copyright. Because if Kinko sees a copyright on anything, they will not reproduce it. But just by printing that section of the frequently asked question page gets Kinko or whoever, gives them permission that they can reproduce it. So again, now they're comfortable because they don't have a printer.
Right.
Then sale goes through, and we would have previously lost that sale.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would be going, well, now what do? I have to take it to Home Depot or Office Depot or whatever it is, Kinko's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I may need three because I'll probably, you know, cut one in half. It wouldn't even occur to me that they would have to have permission to print two and just two. So that's very smart.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
It's chatbot. I honestly, I would love to take credit for it, and no one would know the difference. But the chatbot figured it out. 20 years later, I hadn't figured that out. But every one of these little incremental changes increases revenue.
It does. Okay, so I know people are going, okay, you know, he's got a lot of products, and they're printable, and they sound really cool, but I have got widgets. I've got this, that, and the other. I've got books, you know, and WooCommerce. I mean, I work in WooCommerce all the time, so I understand
that.
Most of my clients are, you know, we're talking about their books, we're talking about their programs, you know, their courses,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing, most of which are digital, most of which are done online. So this something like this would work beautifully for them as well. But what other kinds of websites, companies would this be ideally suited for?
You know, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful question, too. Yeah, because all we've been talking about is e-commerce and product websites, whether the product is a service or a tangible product. This is, if you own a website, you have to have it. I mean, for example, my speaking site, I don't have an actual product that I sell. All I want is people to come to my speaking site, see the topics that I speak about, get a couple examples, some video examples of how I speak and whatever. But the goal, and remember we on the beginning of this conversation, we said you have to determine ahead of time, what do you want your chatbot to do? And on my other two websites, the only thing I want to do is have the chatbot impress the visitor that I'm really cool and capture their email address. So after you get to either one of those two sites and you interact with the chatbot, eventually it's going to say, hey, why don't you give me your email address and I'll have Lon contact you? Because that's all I want on those sites.
Yeah, and see,
it's amazing. The people that would not put it into the contact form are giving it to the chatbot, and it's picking up leads every day.
And see, I bought a product the other day. It's a kind of a new type of scheduler. Not really even a scheduler. It's more of, you know, creating new habits and new goals and type of thing. It's not a scheduler because it's not. You're not supposed to, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and, you know, talk to Lon at 11:30 and, you know, this kind of stuff. It's not for that at all. And I'm not normally big on these type of journal schedulers, but this one really caught my eye. And then I went into the Facebook last night and they were saying, I'm getting texts from these people. I don't want texts. Look, when I fill out a form, I'm making sure you do not have my cell phone number. I do not give you permission to add me to a list. I mean, these are things people should be paying attention to. But it would seem to me that if you really want to be on their mailing list and you didn't get permission, that a chatbot would help you kind of make that decision a little bit down the road after they've convinced you that you're not going to be on the FBI's most wanted list or whatever it is. Look, I'm with you. I don't like
that. Did come up in transcripts.
Yeah, I bet.
The purpose is to capture email addresses. So some of the customers kind of get annoyed. Now, by the way, this chatbot is not nearly as intrusive or as annoying as those damn pop-up windows, those modems that pop up after 20 seconds, 30 seconds on the site. I have a policy that when that pops up, that tells me it's time for me to delete that website, period. I never close out of the pop-up. I close out of the entire website. I'm that annoyed by those. But about the email, it's so much fun watching the kids. I'm not giving you my email. You're going to spam me. And then appropriately, it will come back and say, no, we don't spam. We respect every customer's email address, and we would not do that. No, there was this thing in Japan. I'm trying to think of the name of it. But it was pretty bad. There was a predator that was capturing kids. And I actually had to look it up. And he got away with a lot of nasty stuff. I don't know how these 9-year-olds knew about it, because I thought I was paying attention, but I had no idea. And these 9-year-olds kept calling the chatbot by this Japanese predator's name. I was like, what the heck? Oh, okay, I get it now. And the adults were uncomfortable as well. No, you're going to put me on a spam list. So then I just simply, infrequently asked questions. If you have any concerns whatsoever about us misusing or misappropriating your email address, we have a full privacy page that explains exactly that your email address is really important to us. We would never email you without your permission. We would never sell your email address. And, you know, it goes through the standard stuff. So now when the people have concerns, the chatbot the first time will just try to make them feel comfortable. The second time makes them try to feel a little bit more comfortable explaining. And then the third time it gives them the link to the privacy page, which agrees with this new international act. What is it, the PRPC, you know, the European Privacy Act last year.
And I had our website is do that fine. All last year. Now I can't even remember the name of it.
The acronym. I can't remember it. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I called
the chatbot now has helped with that, because if they have lingering concerns about what's going to happen with their email, it gives them the link and gives them the opportunity to read this very stringent requirement that the EU has implemented and us selling outside of the United States has to comply with. It's pretty strict. So again, the customer reads it, and we get the sale, or we get the email address, and everyone is according to the 2004 Can Spam Act, if they voluntarily give you their email address, you can add it to your corporate list. You know, assuming that if they ask for it to be removed, you have 10 days to remove it.
Right. Okay, so the reason I'm asking is because a lot of people just want that email address. And I'm not even sure they know why they want that darn email address, because I'll start asking questions.
Isn't that true?
And they'll say, well, it's for my list. Well, what's your list about? How is it appropriate to this person? What do you do? What is your purpose for adding, you know, getting their email address? But you're opening up a whole new vista here by saying, okay, you can use it instead of just plunking them into your email and everybody's, oh, you have to have a list. Maybe not. It really depends on who you are and who your audience is. We can debate that from here to doomsday.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to be solved. But the thing is,
this is why
you're
talking to you. Because you have these amazing insights.
Because we debate?
Absolutely true. I have 15 different email lists based on where the customer came in, what their interests are. Because it, like you were just implying, is that if you blast out information to everybody at the same time, only one out of 15 is that information necessarily appropriate for. So you're going to tick them off and they're going to unsubscribe.
And I do.
And this allows
you to
separate them.
Yeah. Well, and where I was going to go with this, I think, was that once you have that chatbot really talking with people and saying, listen, you're safe. you know, here's the steps we've taken. Here's our privacy policy.
Yeah.
We're not going to add you to a list. We would just like for you to contact us and hire us. You know, whatever it is,
yes,
whatever your goal is there, you know, hire me as a speaker. You know, for me, it would be, do you need a website? I'm your girl. You know, whatever. Do you need to be on a podcast? I'm your girl. There are so many different things that we as entrepreneurs offer. It's never just one thing. So we have to be able to determine who our audience is, on what website is, and speak directly to them. And I don't think you can do that with a list. I really don't. Unless somebody proves me wrong, that's why I'm going to hang on to that.
I use a PHP list. It's an open source. It's 100% free. I have this guy, Dan Waterloo, who maintains it. Every 2 or 3 years, I pay him $150 to update it. And it's free. And it has almost all of the capabilities that MailChimp or Constant Contact or any of the big email senders have. But it's free, so it doesn't matter how big your list is, because my list is over 20,000 people. And to pay that every time I send out an email, I just didn't want to do that. But the cool thing about PHP list is that you can create an infinite number of lists. So, for example, I create one for each one of my books. So if I have somebody that's interested in AI, or if I have somebody that's interested in my best-selling sci-fi, I don't want to send them the same information. That would be ridiculous. So on every page, when you create a link, you can take a link, take that customer from that page and put them into one of dozens of email lists so that you can keep them separate. Now, if I have an email blast that's going out that's appropriate to everybody, I just have checkboxes and I can go down, okay, yeah, send it to this one, send it to no, leave this one out, because I also have bureaus and media separated from everybody else. So, yeah, the chatbot will help direct the person to the page, and that page will then collect that email address and put it into a very, very specific list.
And that's the way it should be done. I mean, I spend a lot of time in my little Yahoo account. I'll leave it sit for a week or three or whatever it is. And then I go in and go, really? And I just start unsubscribing. It's like, I don't even know how I got on this list, but no.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, one of my big gripe for me last year, I hope it's not going to be a thing this year. The subject line is, hello, goddess, I am so out of there. Don't use that word.
Shame on you, yeah.
Seriously, I hate it. It doesn't even make sense.
Now you start to sound like those 9-year-old boys.
Oh, God, you don't know if I'm a goddess or not. I might be, but I'm not telling you. So, you know, here it is. It's just
it's
annoying.
None of your business either way.
That's right. It really is. Listen, we are out of time. We're still recording, but not live. And yeah, we're going to have to do this again. So before I let you go, where can people find you on the web? You mentioned it earlier, but do it again if you would.
Yeah, please. If you want to see this in action, you can go to papermodelsonline.com and interact with Bella. She's a lot of fun. And I mentioned Denise in this wonderful show, and I'll send you a copy of that transcript. Tell us what you think. Or you can go to lonsafko.com, LONSAFK.com, and that's kind of my bio site. Please come on by, ask questions, let's interact. Or you can go to my speaking site, which is safko.com, SAF as in Frank, KO.com.
Lon, thank you so much. It has been always a wonderful time speaking with you. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and really anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Lon, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.